I want you to turn with me this morning, turn to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, chapter 4. A lot of folks with the election blues. And I'm preaching this message to me this morning because sometimes we get caught up in things. And when we get caught up in worldly things, we neglect spiritual things. It seems like the more I worried about who was going to get elected, the less that I worried about who is going to get saved. We need to come back to square one and get God on our minds and the burden for the lost in our hearts and go on knowing that God is under control. Now, Paul wrote this to a young preacher, his convert, Timothy. He told Timothy, I have begotten you through the gospel. Timothy's spiritual dad, of course, was the Apostle Paul. I tell folks when I lead them to the Lord that as Paul did with Timothy, I have begotten you through the gospel. So you're now my spiritual child, my spiritual kid. I've got a few spiritual kids in church with me this morning, folks that I've led to the Lord. But Paul wrote this in training to the young preacher Timothy, and it would help us all today to remember this. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 4, the Bible says, No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you this morning, and to many of us that election didn't go the way we wanted it to, Lord, but we know that you're in control. And Lord, we know that you're going to take care of your people, Lord, and help us to just be the best Christians that we can, that we would renew our burden for the cause of Christ and for lost souls, and give us tender hearts, Lord, and let us not be mad at anyone, Lord, but just have tender hearts and thankful to you for forgiving us our sins, Lord. We pray for our president, and I'm not sure who that's going to be. But we pray for our new president, Lord, that you'd guide him, that he would find salvation, and that you would guide his thoughts and give him courage and faith and strength, Lord. And we'll thank you and praise you for all you're going to do. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Now, in the 1800s, there was an Irish preacher named C.H. McIntosh. Great preacher. I think he died around 1896, and he said this. He said, it is vain to speak of approaching judgment when finding our place, our portion, and our enjoyment in the very scene which is to be judged. Sometimes we get so caught up in the things of the world that we start finding our portion and our place in the things of the world instead of the things of God. Sometimes we need to be reminded that our portion and our place is not in this carnal world. As Christians, we should understand that our peace and our portion and our place is not found in politics. Obviously, the political environment affects us. We should vote for those with Christian values. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 29:2, said, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. So the people of God will never find peace in a world without Christ. Your peace is in Christ. You're not going to find it in the world. It's fleeting and it changes. Philippians 3:20, Paul wrote, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to look and wait for the Lord from heaven to step out on a cloud. You know, a lot of it, most of us, I guess all of us, know that he's coming. But we're really not waiting on him. We're not really longing to see him, waiting to see him, expecting for him to step out. The Old Testament says about those Old Testament saints in Hebrews 11, it says they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 73:25, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee." It's okay to want a better government, someone who has respect for the church, honors the church. Abortion is an issue I can't get past. I cannot vote for that. To me, it's wickedness. The Bible says if two struggle and a woman lose her fruit, she miscarries and mischief follow, the baby dies. It says, I will require life for life. So God required that fruit of the womb as a life, and God requires life for life. For I can't get past that. So my voting is always conditioned on what saith the scriptures. But here, those Old Testament heroes of faith confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. We as a body of Christ should be reminded today that our peace, our portion, and our place is found only in Jesus Christ. The things of God, the people of God. And we need to renew a dedication to the house of God. I don't think you'll ever have a great relationship with God without a great relationship with God's church. Jesus said in John 15:20, "Remember the word that I said to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord." We're going to get persecuted. Why? Because he was persecuted. Right. We're the body of Christ in this age, and people aren't going to automatically like us. In fact, they're going to disdain us. "If they have persecuted me," the Lord said, "they will also persecute you." He said in John 15:18, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." He said in Luke 6:22, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." Hey, we're going to have to understand that as a body of Christ, we're going to suffer persecution. Paul told Timothy in the last days that men would be despisers of those which are good. 1 John 4:17, John wrote, "Because as he is, so are we in this world." He was despised. He was rejected. Over in John 17, our Lord's priestly prayer to his heavenly Father, he said this in John 17:14, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." The Lord said, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." That's why the Lord said, 1 John 2:15, John wrote, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." The Bible says only by strife and pride, only by pride cometh contention. We're a prideful nation. But hey, folks, our peace, our portion, and our place is not in this carnal world. We're a separate people. We're a called out assembly. Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We're overcomers. We're more than overcomers, more than conquerors through him. James 4:4, the Bible says, "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Don't get so caught up in the world system here, because it will always disappoint you. It will eventually, if not every day, disappoint you as to what is in the hearts of men and what men determine to do that is contrary to the word of God. Hey, our peace, our portion, and our place is not found in politics. It's not found in pleasures, not worldly pleasures. There's this thing called a hedonism. That's for one who loves pleasures. The Bible said in the last day that they'd be lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. It's not found in self-promotion. The body of Christ is not about us. It's about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's about the cause of Christ, his atoning blood on Calvary's cross. It's not a body of self-expression. It's not how wonderful that I am and how talented and gifted that I am. And it's not about that. It's about our Lord. Everything should point to our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, wherefore come ye out from among them. At 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. J. Wilbur Chapman, a great preacher from days gone by, he said this. He said, anything that dims my vision for Christ or takes away my taste for Bible study or cramps me in my prayer life or makes Christian work difficult is wrong for me. And I must, as a Christian turn away from it. We need to get refocused today. Forget about all the craziness. We as a church should renew our zeal for the gospel. Republicans, Democrats, independents alike are going to hell by the thousands today without Jesus Christ. What are we doing about it? Over half of the Americans today, over half have voted for the killing of innocent blood. Have championed abominations of God, have turned a deaf ear to God's righteousness. You know what Isaiah said about that business? He said in Isaiah 59:13, in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our Lord, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. He said, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Hey, our peace, our place, our portion is not with this crowd. It's not with the world system. Man, most of the world is anti-God, anti-Christ. It's time for the church to circle the wagons. We need to draw closer as a church. Renew our zeal for the cause of Christ. That's what we're here for. Renew your burden for lost souls. Paul wrote in Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Jesus said in John 18:36, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. 2 Corinthians 4:3, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world, you know who's in charge now? You know who the God of this world is? I'll give you a hint. You look over there when the Lord was tempted 40 days and 40 nights. The devil took him up on the pinnacle of the mountain and says, all these kingdoms will I give you. Who did they belong to? They had to belong to the devil. He said, all these kingdoms will I give you if you fall down and worship me. Jesus said, as it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The God of this world, hey, that's going to change. Sunday's coming. Christ is coming back, and he's going to set up a throne eventually. But his kingdom is not hence. It's not right now, but it's coming. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Not right now, but he's coming. The glory, I'll read that passage again. The God of this world. You should be obvious that Satan controls the media. Satan is not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at the same time. So he works collectively through the media, through advertising, through Hollywood, through entertainment, where he can reach the most people. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The Lord told the church, said, ye are the light of the world. That's what we're here for. The Bible says we also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as a light that shineth into a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. We're that light that shines into this dark place. God said it would be dark. And we're the light. We're the light shining into this dark world. Don't get caught up with it, because it'll disappoint you. It'll grieve you. It'll depress you. I've been depressed over this election thing. Been depressed, but I'll get over it. And I need, God has taught me to refocus, get back to what he wants me to be. But I say unto you, Jesus said, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Hey, our peace and our portion and our place is in the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He deserves to be declared. Jesus saves. I've heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. That's what we need to be doing. Declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ, his blood shed for many. A fellow said, well, it's sure going to get bad, ain't it, preacher? Well, it's bad already. It's bad for every son of Adam who rejects the precious gift of salvation. He's got a problem. The Lord told the disciples in Mark 16:15, and he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Lord told a story over in Luke chapter 19. It goes like this, Luke 19:12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said to them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. They rejected the Lord outright. They didn't want anything to do. The men hate the light because it exposes their deeds as evil. Hey, our peace, our portion, and our place is only in the Prince of Peace. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You know, there's no locker room saying. I remember when I played football in high school, a sign up on the wall said, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. How tough are you? Are you ready to get going? Are you ready to kick it up a couple notches and get back to what God called you to do, rather than to get caught up with the rest of this world and all this craziness? It'll drive you batty. You'll stay depressed if you don't get your focus off the things of this life. He that warreth entangleth not himself with the affairs of this life. Hey, And it's okay when men reproach you, when men speak ill of your Savior Jesus Christ. You know what Peter said about that? He wrote in 1 Peter 4:14, he said, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of God and of glory resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of. But on your part, he is glorified. Let them badmouth Christians all they want to. Let them turn away from the God of the Bible and the God of your salvation, Jesus Christ. Because every time you get reproached for the name of Christ, the Spirit of God and of glory resteth upon you. John wrote this, 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Ephesians 6:12, Paul wrote, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's kind of scary, isn't it? But also the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Watch it. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. What do you expect out of a crowd that don't know God? What do you expect out of that crowd? Nothing but craziness and insurrection and foolishness. Kingdom builders without the king. Every blood-bought, born-again woman, man, woman, or child should find their peace and their portion and their place today in the gospel of peace, in the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Not in this world, not in this world system. Romans 10:15. We need to be declaring the gospel. Preach the gospel. And how shall they preach, Paul said, except they be sent, as it is written. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We've got a message for the world. Jesus saves. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The answer for America is not Donald Trump or Joe Biden. The answer for America is Jesus Christ. Amen. Revelation 11:15, and the seventh angel sounded. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. Maybe all of us need to refocus this morning. Kind of reset. Back to where you fell in love with God and you had a burden for lost souls. And you just didn't get too caught up with the affairs of this life. Because they're a snare. And they'll tangle you up where that becomes more important to you than the things of God and the things of Christ. Don't let that happen. So I challenge you today to renew your heart, renew your mind, and get a burden. Ask God for a burden for lost souls. Ask God for a way for you to join in on this cause of Christ. A young fellow asked an old preacher one time, said, well, what do I do? What's some advice for me to want to do something for God? And that preacher said, you find a place where God's doing something and you get in on it. Folks, maybe you need to just get in on the things of God and turn your mind away from the things of this world, because this world offers nothing but disappointment, heartache, heartbreak. But God says, I will give you life and more abundant life. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He'll give you peace. Where this world can't give you peace, won't give you peace, will never give you peace, God will give you peace. your place and your portion, your enjoyment should be found in the things of God and serving your Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm done. If everyone stand up, you're here today and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, you don't maybe don't know what I'm talking about. The Bible says we're all a mess, so that's a lost world we're dealing with. They're a mess. It says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. They've all gone out of the way. They've all become as an unclean thing. There's none that doeth good. Because of our sin, there's a penalty God requires. For the wages of sin is death. And you know what? He died that death for your sins. He paid the wages of your sin on Calvary's cross. And then he says, but the gift of God is eternal life. If you're here today and you've never received that gift, won't you come forward today? Ask God the best way you know how to be merciful to you, a sinner. He won't refuse you. Then commit in your heart. I challenge you to commit yourself to the things of God and the work of God. Occupy your mind with the things of God. Thou shalt keep in perfect peace them whose hearts are fixed on thee. Keep your thoughts, your heart fixed on Jesus Christ. As we sing this morning, the altar is open.